everybody. I hope you're doing well. Thank y'all for getting up this morning and tuning in to AM 1300 The Zone, to the Sunday Sportsman, where we talk hunting and fishing. And Shannon's going to tell us how to fry deer meat. Good morning, Shannon. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I don't know how accurate you are on that, but I could guess my way through it.
Chicken fried deer steak. How's that? That sounds pretty good for breakfast. You never had it.
No. Step one, get a deer.
Step one, get it.
Step two, oil.
Well, no, you got
step three.
You got to skin the deer,
the
and then you got to first of all, you got to cool it off. First, you have to field dress the deer, then you skin the deer, then you cut the back straps out, and then you slice them, and you run them through a tenderizer, and then you salt and pepper them, then a little flour, dredge them in a little flour, then put them in hot grease and let them get golden brown, then pull them out, then you take the dump the oil off of the drippings that's left in the bottom of the skillet. Then you put a little bit of flour in there, brown that just a little bit, a little salt, a little pepper, and then you pour milk in there and make your brown gravy.
Yeah, I get my fried food from a tiny window, and I'm usually in my car at the same time.
Well, and then you also, you make biscuits. You have to have biscuits. If you're frying deer meat and gravy, you got to have biscuits. And sometimes mashed potatoes is pretty damn good, too.
Can't go wrong with potatoes of any variety.
And then for dessert, you have fruitcake. And you got a fruitcake.
Yeah, you brought me fruitcake yesterday.
You hadn't tried it yet. No, we'll talk about
it. It's hard to get me to try stuff when I'm pretty sure I'm not going to care for it. And that's nothing against your baking skills. That's everything towards my picky eating habits.
You just don't like pecans.
I don't. Yeah, I've never been. The only nut I'll really eat like at by itself is a pistachio.
I like pistachios. Now, do you buy the ones with the shell on or with the shell off?
Oh, shell off. Costco's got like the big bag.
Yeah.
Eat them by the handful.
Okay, now you take that, chop them up, you take a fish, and you season.
Oh, I don't like fish, so we can just stop right there.
You don't like fish?
No.
What the hell did your mama feed you?
Well, when I was served
hamburgers?
When I was served fish sticks, I was told that they were chicken sticks.
Chicken sticks.
Specifically at Z Tejas growing up, they had catfish fingers on the kids' menu, and we would go there all the time, and my mom would say to the waiter beforehand, this is what she wants, but she's going to say chicken fingers. And they say, why not just say fish fingers? Or why can't we say cat? She's like, well, if you say catfish fingers, she'll think that she's eating her cat. If you say fish sticks, she'll know it's fish. So she's going to get the chicken tenders. Wink, wink.
Now, was it tenders or tendies?
I think I was still on tenders. Tendies is kind of a new revelation for me and all the millennials of my time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, now you got me. I'm sitting here. Where am I going to go with this? But now.
Hamburgers are my thing, yeah.
Cheeseburger or hamburger?
Cheeseburger.
Got to have cheese on it.
Cheeseburger. I love when the blogs from around town come out and they're like, the best burgers in the area. And I have to go try whatever burger I haven't had yet. Top Notch is great. It's from my neighborhood.
Dirties.
I recently went to Jew Boy Burger. They just opened Jew Boy Burger. It was a truck that is now in a brick and mortar over on Airport. Mm-hmm. And it's flat top grilled burgers, so good. And then they have latkes. You can get a burger with a latke on it. Get some of the schmutz and dip that in there. It's kind of like an aioli.
Do you go to Slotsky's? Do you eat Slotsky's?
My dad is a huge Slotsky's guy. I'm hit or miss.
Your dad probably remembers, if he's a big Slotsky guy, when Slotsky's opened up on Airport Boulevard. The very first Slotsky's was on Airport.
I was going to say, there's not even one over there anymore, is there?
But the very first Slotsky's was on Airport. When we would come from Lano, my wife's kinfolk would give us a list of what to bring. And that time they only had the, what did they call it? It had the one with the onions and bell peppers and
the original?
The original. It was the original. Mm-hmm. You had three sizes of the original and that was it.
Right.
That was all.
That was all I was given when we would go there.
And you had the little, the small, the medium, and the large. And the large would feed four or five people.
Oh, yeah. It's like a tire.
Yeah. It was huge.
And the bread is filling on its own. Mm-hmm. And then you add those layers of goodness in the middle.
Yep. Oh, we used to go there pretty regular. And now you go into Slotsky's and...
They've changed their menu quite a bit. Oh, yeah. It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, so Slotsky's.
They got pastas and pizzas and soups and all kinds of things. I'm like, where's the sandwich?
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting there. Y'all don't understand. When whoever made the Slotsky's and they sold out and then they became the
Austin Eatery that they're known as now?
Yeah. We'll stop. I'll quit there. Now, what's the one with the all of the wraps, not the wraps, but it's
burritos local
torchies
tacos
is good.
Oh yeah, they my neighborhood is the only location with a drive-thru that I know of.
A drive-thru Torchies?
Yeah, I believe it was their first true brick and mortar. Of course, now they're like expanding across the country at a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. We don't even, it's such a small shack. It doesn't have, margaritas or happy hour like the other ones do. But I highly suggest skipping the drive-thru and just ordering ahead and walking in because it's there's a reason the other locations do not have a drive-thru.
Because they're busy on
the making them fresh. It's yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had, are you an onion ring eater?
Of course.
You ever had onion rings? Now, onion rings at Dairy Queen.
You've told me about this and I've yet to try them.
Onion
rings. I live next to
a Dairy
Queen.
Good. Now, out west, you go out to San Angelo and out that part of the world, onion rings are an hors d'oeuvre. You can buy a half a fry basket full of onion rings. Or you can buy a full fry basket full of onion rings. They're put on they bring them to you on a tray that's just covered with paper towels, and they dump them on there to let the grease drip off, and then you just sit down and everybody eats onion rings.
That's wonderful. The best onion ring I've ever had was sort of like that. It's from George's in Waco, which is like the spot where everyone goes before, after, and during games. And they have a great onion ring and some great special sauce that comes with it.
I bet you money that in Waco, there used to be, Waco or Temple? Waco. There was a steakhouse. And I don't know if it was Zentner's, but they copied a steakhouse in San Angelo area. And that's where I always had the onion rings. I bet you money that's the same onion ring recipe that they use there.
It's not a steakhouse, that's for sure. No. But it's kind of like a hole in the wall vibe, just a really giant hole.
Best places.
Yeah,
that's why here in Austin some of your best food are trailers.
Yeah, and they're good when they then work their way into a brick and mortar. Yeah.
And then you have to wash it down with a Bud Light seltzer.
Bud Light Platinum, whichever you fancy.
There you go.
Get you in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, family, we're talking food. I get excited when I talk food. I got to get out of here. We'll see y'all on the other side. Y'all be good. And we got a great show lined up for you. Just stick around. It's going to be fun. We'll see y'all in a little bit. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300 The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
Good word is, well, we found Sean, Sean. Yeah, we sent the dogs out after him. We found him. He's out on the dang lake. Imagine that. He likes fish all the time. Good morning, Sean. How you doing, brother?
Man, I think somebody forgot to turn the heat on.
It's a little bit chilly. Don't you have your 100-mile-an-hour suit on?
I wish. I need a fire pit on this thing because it's cold.
A little on the chilly side.
Yeah, all Misty says when we get up to go sometimes, she goes, better you than me because I'm in here where it's warm.
She says, I'm staying in here. I've got my whole wallet out in the bed, and I got all my covers on, and I ain't moving.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, have you been fishing much lately?
Yeah, we go quite a bit, and last Friday we went out, and it was crazy cold and it's just crazy. But now the fish are starting to pick up a little bit. The water temps actually dropped some. And now last week it was in the upper 60s, and today it was like 61, 62. I mean, it's steadily dropping. We need to get it down into the probably, I hate to say it, mid to upper 50s.
Yep.
But the smallmouth are starting to turn on because I think they do their pre-spawn stuff when the water gets a little cooler.
Folks, who we're talking to, Sean, he's up on Lake Belton. So he's north of us here. So it's a little cooler up. The little further north you go, the cooler it gets. So,
yeah.
So when it's cold like this and the water's chilling down, are you throwing a smaller bait because the fish really are looking for a smaller something to eat so they can digest it quicker? Or do you notice that they're hit a big bait too as well?
I'll throw square bills and, crankbaits and the deep divers and stuff. But as far as the jigs and stuff, I'm throwing like half ounce. I haven't really changed much on them. The only thing that we have changed a little bit on is, in the late fall and into the wintertime, we try to fish the banks where the sun's beating down on them.
Right, right.
That way that part of the lake warms up, the water warms up, and the bait fish seem to go to the warmer bank. So we fish the sunny sides, and then, if whatever, I guess what would it be, when the sun's coming up and it's beating down on the rocks all day long, then if you start fishing the next morning early, like we're going to start this morning, we're going to be on the side that the sun beat down on all day the prior, because then the concrete, the rocks, hold the heat. So it's going to be the warmest part of the lake in our eyes. That's the way I look at it. And it seems to work out. But as far as downsizing baits, now if the bite isn't there and we're not getting bit like we think we should, then yeah, we'll downsize. And I mean, I'll even go to 8-pound test line on a spinning rod and throw a Ned rig.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and a Ned rig about 3 inches long or 2-inch long worm.
Right, right, right. That almost sounds like a country and western song. Fish on the sunny side of the lake.
Yeah, stays warmer.
Well, that's what I've noticed. When I guided a lot, the shad would be on the right up against the bank, because we were out there in the mornings. It was dark and we're out there throwing. And the shad were right up on the bank because that ground that isn't covered by the lake would warm up. And thus,
right,
closer to the water, right at the shallow water, would be warmer than a little bit deeper out. So that's something that I noticed when I was catching bait all the time in the wintertime, is the shallower water was always warmer just because of the ground getting warmer.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, this is a little bit different than what, last Friday, which was Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving and all that, we had a little jackpot, and we had 14, 15 teams show up, and first place had just over 20 pounds, almost 21 pounds.
Good gosh.
But then turned around, cord threw another one on Sunday, which I wasn't able to attend that one. He threw one last Sunday and had 12 teams show up. But to tell you how much the weather, you know, the elements, the fronts coming in affected that, you know, like I said, Sunday took Friday took 20 pounds to win. Sunday, it took eight.
8 pounds. Wow.
Yeah, but 12-pound difference from 2 days.
Right. See, last week, what was it, cooler?
Well, we had that northern blow-in on Friday where it rained and stuff, and then it kind of rained intermittent all day on Saturday, and then another front blew in, you know, I guess Saturday night.
Right.
And it blew the clouds out. We had bluebird skies, but everything just basically just went lockjaw. You know, I guess they were wearing them masks where they didn't want to bite nothing.
High pressure kicked in, and they locked the fish up. That's what it mounted to. Friday, it was a low coming in because we had the mist and the mess, and that was a low pressure coming in. Then the high started moving in, blew everything out, and high pressure is one that turns them off. They stick to the bottom, and they don't move.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They just didn't want to hit nothing. Hopefully, you know, we've been catching a few fish this week, and hopefully today they'll do pretty decent because December 12th, they're having it's basically like a benefit type fishing tournament. Mm-hmm. It don't cost nothing to enter, but the entry fee is you and your partner, they want two unwrapped new gifts they want toys. Like toy for one, you know, your team members buy a toy for a boy and the other one would buy a toy for a girl.
Okay.
And that's what they do at this benefit deal is they're raising Christmas gifts for toys for like kids in need.
And that's a good thing because in this world right now with the pandemic and all, moms and dads aren't working as much as they used to. And I'm ready for everything to get back to normal. And yeah, it takes, you know, it's that old saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yep. You got to have, you know, help every now and again. And, you know, this is the way we can, as far as, you know, anglers or fishermen, this is the way we can help out.
Mm-hmm. It is, you know, it's our way of helping. And, you know, I had yesterday, I had Celia Cole on, and she is CEO of Feeding Texas, which is, you know, feeding all the different food banks, the Central Texas Food Bank, San Antonio Food Bank. She takes care of 21 of them. And that's something that she was talking about right now is their food is, it's just crazy how much people are needing right now just to get by.
Yeah. Yep. So. Like you said, I mean, during this, you know, these times and stuff, everybody needs a little help here and there. And, you know, if we can do something to help out, that's, you know, what we're able to do.
Yep. I'm ready for this vaccine. Everybody take it and it work. And here we go. And kind of get back to the new normal and see what happens and go from there, and the world get back to a little bit closer to what we used to know it.
Yep. And in fact, before I left the house this morning, I had the news on and they were talking about that that they expect every adult in the United States could have access to the vaccine by June of 21.
That's kind of what I figured. You know, the very first are going to be your EMS,
your first responders and stuff.
And then they're going to go to the old folks' home and take care of those people and, you know, the older people in there and the helpers in there. And then they'll go and find the people, you know, 65, and, you know, and that's in trouble in that part. And then by, you know, late spring, early summer, I think the rest of everybody else will get it.
Yep. You know, like Dr. Fauci said up there in Washington, he's got an idea when everything will be back to normal. How funny is that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I can't go into politics, though.
No, we won't get into politics, I guarantee you, because I get a little crazy. Hey, brother, tell them if anybody needs to know some pointers on the lakes that you fish, tell them how to get a hold of you.
My phone number is 254-702-9218, or they can email me, Sean@hotpal.com.
Sean, I appreciate it, brother.
You bet. Y'all stay warm.
You be good. Bye. Hey, family, we've got a great show lined up. Here in just a little bit, next we're going to talk to Jerry down at Deep Sea Headquarters. I better get out of here. Thank you, Callahan. See y'all later.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylock.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word here?
Well, I went down to Deep Sea Headquarters in Port Aransas to see Jerry, and they said, Jerry will be here in a little while. He's been up at Deer Lease. Are you at the Deer Lease?
I am back.
Oh, you're back home? Oh, okay.
I'm back.
You had to rest.
Very depressing. I'm back. No, beautiful down here. Beautiful weather down here, too. We finally got cool down here. It's kind of cool and dry. A little bit of a breeze. It's nice. You got to wear your big boy pants, but that's okay. It's beautiful.
You got to wear long pants, and you can't go barefooted, but you can wear flip-flops and get away with it.
If you wear flip-flops with long pants, that's okay down here.
Okay.
We don't look at you funny. Dang, I've got to folks, y'all need to come down here and see me. I need to get some boats out. I barely got an 8-hour trip out yesterday. 12 people.
Good gosh. Now
that and they did well. They caught some nice fish, you know, a lot of vermilion snapper, kingfish, the kingfishers. People think, oh, well, we're not gonna catch kingfish, that's summertime. The biggest catch of kingfish we ever had was on New Year's Day about 15 years ago. They're here year-round. We just never used to fish for them year-round.
Right.
But a lot of kingfish, a lot of nice vermilion snapper, a couple scamp grouper, one or two little sharp-nosed sharks, and released some of those endangered, released like 8 or 10 of those endangered sandbar sharks.
Okay. So,
but it's good down here. The weather's beautiful. I just don't hardly have any people.
So, you don't have Texas red snapper fishing trips yet?
Not yet. I'm checking that. Tomorrow's Monday. I'll get on the phone and check on that again tomorrow. Okay. Here's what's going on. Just like everything else with the COVID, these people are hardly working in the office.
Yeah.
So everything's taking longer. They're working from home, you know. My wife's doing the same thing. She has to alternate. They don't want more than two people in the office, you know. And she works at the college in a corpus there. And so, you know, some days she's home. Some days she's in corpus. Some days it's half and half. Half a day at home. It's crazy. And it makes it much tougher. You know, it's hard for them to get the work done.
Well, you going to take her up there and let her shoot that bucket just talking about yesterday?
She wants to. She's all hot about it. But you know what? It's just like two ships passing in the night. I don't know. We can't get our act together.
I know. Now, once you shoot that, now we're going to talk cooking. We got a few minutes here. Okay. And then we'll go back to talking fishing. Take that back strap. Once she shoots that buck, you chill it down, cut the back strap out. And then take your knife and like you're going to, you know, fillet it. You leave about 1/4 inch of meat and then just run the knife down, flip it. Just keep, make it a continuous line of meat about a quarter inch thick, fillets off of that back strap. Then you take it, you fill it full of, you cover it with cheese and bacon and onions and jalapenos, then roll it up. And then put it on the barbecue. Then you cut it in little slices about an inch thick, if you want to make pinwheels out of it. Or you take the whole thing and put it on the pit and cook it real slow and smoke and make fajitas out of it. And damn, that's good.
Or if you're my buddy that runs the Deer Lease, Chuck Ardawine from Welch, Louisiana, you just fry the whole thing.
Well, yeah, you can do that too.
They fry everything. Well, yeah. I cooked one like you're talking about on the grill. Cooked a couple of tenderloins on the grill last year. It was just me and him. I said, I got these tenderloins. I'm going to cook them on the grill. And we had a bag of potato, and he said, Jerry, this is just like steak. I said, fool, it is steak. He said, I only fry them. I said, well, quit doing that.
Yeah,
not that I don't like fried backstrap. It is way good. But, almost as good. You know what? I think it's even better than that yellowfin tuna I had last night.
Oh, that yellowfin tuna. Did you blacken it or had you fix it?
I just barely cooked it on the grill. Just got it real hot fire and singed it a little bit and had it almost raw in the middle.
Let it turn a little bit pink and white on the outside and pink in the middle. And
a little bit of
groceries.
A little bit of sweet and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Sauce to go with it afterwards, and that's really all you need. Now, I had some Brussels sprouts with mine, but really that tuna is all you need.
Make a pico de gallo, put mango in it, extra cilantro, and some extra garlic, and then maybe even a little extra lime juice, and then that mango gives it a sweet taste to it, and serve that with that blackened or grilled yellowfin tuna on the side. Oh, let me tell you how good it is.
Mama's all about the mango. She's not hot about the cilantro. Little bit, not too much.
I like cilantro. I put a lot of cilantro in my food.
So I'm going to have to go. I'm getting hungry.
I know. I know. So people aren't down there. You need poats. You got
a
yellowfin.
No folks down here.
You got
this
a yellowfin trip going out next weekend.
This next Saturday morning. Saturday morning we'll leave it. Departure time says 6. We've been getting out of here about 4:30, 5 o'clock on these trips so that we can be the first boat there. You know, the yellowfin, the fish is so good for these tuna this year at those south rigs that everybody's over there fishing for them. We got all the boats from Galveston and Freeport and everything.
Good gosh.
You got there sometime. Yeah, sometimes there's 8 or 10 party boats out there fishing.
Good gosh.
If it's really calm, you got the sport fishing boats out there too.
Yeah.
They'll come out there and spend the night, you know. It's been really good. They say it's just perfect conditions. The water's deep, deep blue. And, you know, flying fish everywhere. You know, we catch them flying fish, use a big old long-handled dip net, catch them flying fish and put them on there still alive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start trying to get away, hold on.
Yeah, they're gone.
Because here he comes.
Now, do y'all are out overnight. So can people take food with them or do they need to buy it on the boat?
On these trips, you bring your own food and drink.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you, take more water than you think you're going to use.
Oh, yes.
You know, don't load up on beer because you're either going to be sleeping. I take a beer or two, but you be sleeping or fishing. And you're going to be a lot thirstier than you think, and it's chillier than you think out there, too.
Yeah.
I always take my rain gear, even when there's no chance of rain, just to keep the wind off.
Mm-hmm.
It gets pretty chilly during the night, and it's just damp. You know, but... And the guys laugh at me when I say that because when it's really good, you have the sweat running down the side of your face.
Oh yeah, now
because I don't care how cool it is, you're working.
Yeah, especially if you got a 60 or 70 pound yellowfin tuna on, you're trying to get the boat. You're working.
I asked one of the guys last weekend, I said, how many did you catch? He said, I caught two. I said, you only caught two? He said, yeah, and they made me reel in the second one. Yeah. I didn't want to.
I've been there,
the first
too.
The first one he got was that 105-pounder. He said, yeah. I didn't want no more, and he said, they made me reel in another one.
Yeah, that's like the first one I – first time I ever went fishing, I caught a 103-pounder, and I shake him when I got him in, and the guy says, I says, if you miss him with that gaff, I'm going to kick your butt in the water. And he started laughing. He reached down and gaffed it, and then they stuck him. And then another guy runs over there because I had my belt on, and he sticks another rod in my belt, and he says, you got another fish on. You better get him in. And I'm sitting there, no, you got 2 minutes.
I was hooking him on the back of the boat like that one night, and I handed one off. And I turned around to hand the other one off, and there was no people there.
Yeah.
This guy looked around the from the port side of the boat over by the women's restroom, and he was smoking a cigarette. And I said, hey, I got it. And he gave me a dirty sign.
I don't want that. It's like work. Tell them how to find you, brother. I'm fixing to be out of town.
Hey, we're down here in Port Aransas where the fishing is good every day. Tuna fishing's hot, folks. Give me a call. I got a few spots available. Jerry, Captain Kelly's Deep Sea Headquarters, 361-749-5597. And, yes, we are having fun.
Yeah. RealHotFishing.com. Also, if you want to go to Costa Rica.
We can get you to Costa Rica. It's a little bit, you know, a few things you got to do to go, but no quarantine or anything. So, and the fishing is good.
Get out. We'll get you fishing. So, Deep Sea Headquarters, Port Aransas. Fishing is bunched down there. Get down there. Check them out. DeepSeaHeadquarters.com. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank y'all. So, talk to you next week.
We'll holler at you then. Hey, brother. Hey, family. We've got to thank Callahan's General Store, and we got to get out of here. We got to let the station make a little money. We'll see y'all in just a little bit. River Queen, roll it on. Take that woman on down to New Orleans, New Orleans. Go on.
Oh, miles and miles of Texas. Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylum.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
Good word is we found Don Gordon, and we're going to talk, well, you know, we had the holidays last go around, so we didn't really get to talk about what happened on Choke Canyon with the Texas Tournament Zone, so we're going to visit with that. About that, and just see what Don's been up to and what the area lakes are providing and what kind of fish are happening and what kind of fish are how good the fishing is. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Doing pretty good, Ken. How are you?
I can't complain. Wouldn't do any good if I did.
Nobody listened.
That's the kind of way I look at it.
Absolutely. Well, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. I ate way too much and gained weight and now I got to go back on a diet and lose more weight. And, just one. And then we got
that.
Christmas coming up. And, and I'm cooking. And I've made 15 cakes already, fruit cakes, and giving them away.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't know you did that.
I love cooking. Yeah, that's my hobby.
Well, I knew you cooked. I didn't know you made fruit cakes.
Oh, yeah. And then my other hobby is eating them.
I hear that. That's my hobby.
Yeah.
Now, we had a good tournament down at Choke Canyon, Ken. Everybody, you know, was real good about social distancing and doing all that kind of stuff, wearing masks. Wasn't too many festivities going around, but... fishing was a little bit tough for catching big fish.
Mm-hmm.
We caught a lot of fish. There were 82 teams, and Tim and Judy Renault from Del Rio just blew the doors off everybody. They had a two-day total of 61.01 pounds. And second place was Charles Whitehead and Brendan kennel, and they had 40.03, so they eclipsed by 20 pounds. And their two-day total was anchored with a 12.38 big bass. So Choke Canyon is alive and well. It was hard to find groups of big fish. We found fish, and boy, did we see some gators out there, too. That was a lot of fun. I sent you a video of a 12-footer. But I was leaning out on the front of the boat taking that picture of that gator. When it turned its head and swooshed, I think we bumped it with the troll motor. We were that close.
Yeah, I bet.
What? I jumped like a little girl.
I imagine his scream, too.
James was on the front of the boat running the troll motor, and I ran up there to take that picture. I was hanging kind of off the side, and when that gator swooshed, you know, it threw a wave and kind of threw the boat a little bit. Boy, I was going like that.
I bet.
Yeah, it was a good one.
12-foot gator's going to weigh 800 or 900 pounds.
I have not gotten a picture that good of a gator. I mean, it was a good one.
Well, what we're going to have to do is wait till when they have gator season, and then we'll have to have a gator tournament on Choke Canyon.
You know, the state record is from Choke Canyon.
Really?
Yeah, it was harvested last year, almost 15-footer.
Good gosh.
Yeah. But back to fishing, the fishing was not bad. We caught fish every day, and I'd catch one or two good fish, but you had to have five good fish. So we didn't weigh in the first day. We didn't even have a full limit. We were out there chasing around. Now, second day, we probably caught 30-something fish. We fired up a school, and we just sat there and had fun fishing. But we were trying to catch big bass. Then all of a sudden I heard that Judy Renault had caught that 12.38, and I went, well, it's not looking real good for big bass either.
Now, I was doing some looking at some of my papers here. Did you tell the rest of the story about the Renaults?
No, I did not.
Tell the rest of the story.
Tim is a tournament fisherman. He's been fishing for years and years. Well, so is Judy. Mm-hmm. But Tim's regular partner had been suffering with cancer, I believe. And I don't know his name. If somebody out there knows his name, shout it out. I tried to find out. But Tim's regular partner passed away on Saturday.
Wow.
And so a bunch of the guys, you know, were you know, telling him, you know, oh, man, you know, so sorry and all. And we all kind of felt like he had an extra rod in the boat, man. His partner was helping him out. And I'm glad they won. I know it was a tragic time for them because, you know, I'm sure they've been friends for years and years, like the fishing community is. You know, we're all pretty tight.
That's right. We're all family.
So, yeah, my condolences go out to them. And anyway, they did good.
Now, on what was their total weight for the 2 days?
61.01 pounds.
That's 30 pounds a day.
30 pounds a day average.
That's five.
How's that?
That's 5-6 pound fish a day.
Yep,
well, they
sir.
Had one that was 12-something, but yeah.
Yep. Well, that was it. Yeah, they were catching good fish. And the grass on Choke Canyon, Ken, is gorgeous. There is grass everywhere.
We were just talking to a guide a little bit ago, and he was talking, well, yesterday, and he was talking about the grass. He says, you know, you throw out that grass, you ain't going to catch nothing. You throw in a hole in that grass, and you're going to catch them. I says, they're ambush feeding. He says, that's right.
They're they're opportunist and ambush feeders always.
Yep.
And I don't know it for a fact. I did not talk to the Renaults, but Judy kind of gave a little tell the second morning. She said they had a limit of, I think she said about 24 pounds at 8:30 in the morning.
Good gosh.
And she said, then we went to the grass. So I think they had a school of bigger fish, and they were deep cranking them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went to the grass, and they were probably punching the grass. But they fish that lake quite a bit, know it pretty well. And my hat's off to them, because, boy, did they lap that field. Charles has been down there hammering on fish pretty good on choke, and I never would have ever guessed that it was going to take 30 pounds a day to win that tournament. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know, that's, and yeah, I'm sitting there, 60 pounds 2 days, but they did have a 12.38, but still, wow.
Well, they cropped up all the rest of it, too, besides Big Bass.
What was number two?
The second Big Bass? Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I don't think there was another double digit caught.
All right, what was the second? What was their total weight? Set number two?
Oh, second place? Yeah. Charles was 40 pounds, a .03.
That's still good, but damn, got beat by 20 pounds.
No, that's real good.
Oh, I know. I'm sitting there. Wow.
It went down pretty quick after that. So, but we got coming up next week. I'll be fishing Blue Line Bass Club on Lake Austin. And James and I are looking to try to repeat. We won last year. And we're going to be doing about the same thing. The fish are definitely in a late fall pattern, getting ready for wintertime. The water's cooling off. The nights are short. And what we're doing, we're just going to run and gun. And we caught them last year on crankbaits and Alabama rigs. Okay. So that's we're going to try to duplicate last year's. Hope and hold.
Well, tell them how to find you, brother.
512-784-7793. Give me a holler. We'll go fish.
Don will help you out if you fish in an area lake, or he'll take you fishing. He's a guide. Give me that number one more time, Don.
512-784-7793. I appreciate it, Ken.
Appreciate it, brother.
Adios.
Be good. Hey, family. Next will be Celia Cole. We got to run. We got to get out of here. We'll see y'all on the other side. Thank you, Callahan's. Y'all be good, family. See you in a bit.
Some squirrely guy who claims that he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way.
Bo Reed, Papa Chop, Rod and Reel Repair. We visited with him yesterday. We talked rods, and I'm sitting there, you know, I made the whole show talking, you know, how to take care of your rod and such as that, and how Bo fixes it then, and the great way that he repairs anything. And I'm sitting there, okay, now, Sunday we're going to talk reels. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, Ken. Thank you guys so much for having me on today.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on here with us. And now on reels. Yeah, you know, I use a reel.
Let's have it.
I use a reel. But now, I've always been an Abu Garcia 6500 C3 guy. And they just bulletproof. I know you like some Shimano's and you like Luz and different other reels, but and all of them, you know, I've used Shimano's, I've had a few Luz, and they're all good. Is some better than others?
Okay. So, live radio. So this is just my opinion, but it's both my professional and my personal opinion. If you spoke with anybody else in my profession, their opinions will probably differ in some way, shape, or form. But I'm pretty confident in saying what I believe is relevant in this type of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best reels to buy out there are reels that are produced by fishing reel manufacturers that provide a larger replacement part stock supply than the rest of the manufacturers. Okay. Now, what does that mean? That means that there are some companies out there that produce a really large replacement part stock supply for the products they sell.
Mm-hmm.
There are others that are at the other end of the spectrum on that. Okay, so when I buy or when I recommend a reel to a customer, that's a lot of the place that I put my focus on. Now, in my opinion, there are three companies that dwarf the rest of the reel manufacturers in this aspect. I believe that Shimano, Abu Garcia, and Penn support their products better than anybody else that's ever graced this earth as a reel manufacturer. Now, I also believe that Luz is doing its best to move from the middle of the pack up there with those top three companies, in my opinion. I think all four of those companies are doing a really great job. And I also think that if you spend your money with those companies, I think it goes a lot further, mainly because 8-10 years down the road, 15-18 years down the road, you'll still be able to buy parts,
mm-hmm.
more than likely, for those reels from those manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of the other manufacturers, I won't get into the names of them, but, you know, in my opinion, I think they shoot for 2 to 4 years worth of support. 2 years is probably typical. 4 years, if you find a part, it's either because they are still manufacturing a product using that part, or it's just your day to win the lottery.
So what you're saying is get the reel that been around for a long time, and they use a lot of the same parts, much like Abu Garcia. You see a lot of the same parts in different reels, like the 5500.
Absolutely.
Or the 5000 or the 6000 or the 6500. Parts will interchange, and they haven't changed a lot. Well, they have too. They made a lot of different other line of reels, but Abu Garcia has just been around a long time.
You know, like you said, they're bulletproof. But you know, all these manufacturers are making reels that I consider more affordable reels and really well-manufactured reels,
mm-hmm.
right? All these companies are at least producing a good reel. But by about the time, if you're using that reel, about the time that something should probably start
mm-hmm.
malfunctioning on it,
mm-hmm.
it's about 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And so when I buy a reel, I personally would focus on those four companies so that if I spent my money with those companies, I am more likely in 3, 4, or 5 years to have parts for my reel than if I were to buy from these other companies.
Right. Okay, so what you're looking at is, okay, very reputable, very well known, and they're not in the business of building a reel and selling it and not worried about the other end. They just want
exactly.
to sell,
you know,
the damn reels, all they're wanting to do.
Yeah, you know, what I consider to be out there are some trending reels,
mm-hmm.
some reels that gain temporary popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really take a good look at the rod and reel market, you start to notice some reels that have been generation after generation after generation, just really, really unbelievably well-selling reels, right? You know, that is because they're, one, produced by a good manufacturer, a reputable manufacturer who's spent the last, you know, 10, 20, 30 years building up this reputation, and they've got that parts supply behind it. You know, that's
right.
That's, you know, it's, there's just some that do it better, and there's some that sell products and don't even have a replacement part supply.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's hard for an average consumer to know which ones those are. Mm-hmm. But if anybody ever has any questions, they can always call me. I get those calls every day of the week.
And so the main thing is, if you're looking for a reel that you want to hang on and possibly pass it down to your children, and you don't know, then they could give you a call and say, hey, Bo, I want a good, well-built reel, and I know it's going to cost me a little money, but I want my son to have it when I pass, or something like that. I want to give it to my son, and he can have it the rest of his life. And then what do I need to get? And you're going to say, you need to get this because I can find parts. It'll be parts 20 years from now, and that's why you're such a great person. It gets out there, helps people. And I know you and Chico both have done, you know, the Keep Austin Fishing on Facebook and all of that kind of stuff. And that's part of what it's all about. It's getting in there, helping people. And especially right now with everything that's going on, people like you and Chico, y'all want to help people. You want to get people going right, point them in the right direction, because dang, money's hard to come by right now. And if it costs $100 is a lot of money to be spending on a rod and reel or reel.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the toughest parts of my job is, and it's kind of, you know, from a customer standpoint, it's really harder for them to empathize with, but you know, being a small business owner and operator, you know, the idea of having to turn down working on a customer's reel or rod because it's cost ineffective, or because I know all these things about parts and unavailability, you know, things like that, you know, turning down working on a customer's reels is the last thing I ever want to do. But I do it all the time, all the time, day after day, multiple days a week. I have customers come in that I have to say, you know, these reels, I know, you know, if there's no sentimental value attached to them, these reels are not worth the money that you're going to spend on them to refurbish them. You know, it's much wiser to go spend your money on a newer generation reel, you know, of this brand or that brand, you know, depending on what they're looking for. You know, having to turn down that type of work, that's tough, and I never want to do that. But you know what? I do that because it's the best for the customer, and it's the best thing for me.
Tell them how to get hold of you. I'm fixing to be out of time, brother.
Yes, sir. They can contact me at PapaChopsATX.com, or they can call me at 512-294-3155.
I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks again. Thank you, Shannon. Have a good day.
Be good. PapaChopRodAndReel.com. Hey, we got to get out of here, family. See y'all on the other side. Y'all be good.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
Good word is, well, you heard it. War, lowrider, Chico's next. Good morning, Chico. How you doing, brother?
Good morning. You know what? I've been up for 2 hours already, Ken. It's
been up for two hours. Have you had your sausage and eggs yet?
Oh, yeah. I had breakfast pretty immediately, so that happens quick on Sunday morning. So the problem is I go to bed so dang early, and I don't know how I can do that on a Saturday night anymore. But there's all this staying at home. I think I have found the edge of the Internet, and I've seen everything on TV twice.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I understand. You know, Netflix and Hulu and all of these, we found some, we're watching stuff that, you know, when it came out, ain't no way I'm going to watch that. And then we started.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Damn, that's a pretty good show.
Well, you know, it's kind of neat because I've noticed that I gravitate towards the outdoors, which we probably should. But
yep.
That's the only thing that's really interesting, that and the car stuff. I think I could watch that over and over and over and over again. I'm noticing, too, a lot more fishing shows. I've noticed,
yep.
Two, Jim Salmons, an old friend from the team, has got a show going on, kayak fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad Hoover Fishing's got another one going. So I noticed the kayaks are getting a lot of love. And, of course, you know, fishing is going full online now. There isn't anything you can't find live now. Even local tournaments, you can get out and find at least a local angler doing something live on a Facebook page. So, you know, there's at least there's a lot of outdoor stuff.
Yep. You know, we didn't get to talk about Texas Tournament Zone's tournament that they had 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Don Gordon on earlier. I was visiting with him when I got him lined up for the show, and Don was telling me, Ken, do you know that, in fact, I had him on just a little bit ago, he said, do you know that 60 pounds and a handful of change, a two-day tournament, won Texas Tournament Zone? I'm saying, 60 pounds? Yeah.
Right. Think about that.
Yeah, 30 pounds a day.
A day. That's incredible. Right. So think of that's five fish and averaging out. I mean, you're like, oh, my, that's like sometimes a person's lifetime fish. That's like buckets of them. So
yeah.
Fishing's pretty good right now. You know what else I heard, Ken? I heard, and this is a really neat statistic that's coming around. There's a couple of industries that are doing well in this environment, and outdoor hunting and fishing licenses are up in every state across the country. More people are getting outside. More kids are wanting to get outside, and the parents are taking them. Hunting's got a resurgence. In the high schools down here, there's classes for archery and hunter safety, and they're all full. So it's really people are turning towards it, and I think a lot of people are looking at, well, here's a way that I can put food on the table and maybe teach my kids something that I've been missing here. A lot of them are getting back to what they did when they were kids, and that's what we need.
Yep. You know, we had Chris Maddox on yesterday, and visited with him, and we talked about feral pigs. Then I had a fella by the name of, Ryan Hoover. Ryan is a gunsmith in Fredericksburg, Texas, rhcustomguns.com, I believe. He also builds pistols, and his passion is hunting with pistols. And he says, Ken, there's nothing like strapping a pistol on your hip, crawling down in that trail, that pig trail, and going underneath that bee brush and going in there and shooting that pig with a pistol. I'm sitting there. Yeah, there's something that's different. That might be better than that. That's shooting that pig at about 150 yards out, and I don't have to worry about him eating me.
Exactly. Those pigs right now, they're faster than I am.
Yeah.
And I do not want to get on the ground with them. In fact, Chris and I, we're dealing with that here in his bushmeat food bank situation. And it's dangerous out there hunting pigs, and we're getting ready to do some filming with it, and there's some things to consider here. you know, like me being in a truck or on a stand and figuring out how to stay safe. And he's like, Chico, you have to be like two paces right behind me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have the gun. I don't think he really uses his pistol as his backup much. It's a long gun or nothing.
Yeah. Well, when, I don't know if you've done it yet or not, when you go with Chris and you go out there, mm-hmm. and he's got a pen full of feral hogs he just caught, and you walk up to him and they're chewing on the steel netting to see how fast they can chew through it to get to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
I'm not itching to film, you know, one that's been trapped, but we're going to work some logistics out on filming one, you know, that's actually a hunt.
Okay.
Which isn't much of a hunt, I guess, if you call it with hogs, because you usually know where they're coming from and you bait them, so you wait. It's a bait and wait situation. But,
it's like a bear hunt.
Well, you know, down here, those hogs, they got a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah,
It's dangerous on the ground with the hogs. Yeah. Eradication is important, and I know he talks about that a lot, but anything we can do to help that, you know, we've got to step it up, friends.
You know, I started smoking one yesterday, late yesterday evening. I just left it on the pit, just the light smoke going on it. I'm going to pull it off. I was going to pull it off this morning. It's going to be pork jerky by the time I get back, but.
Is it on your pellet? Is it on the
pellet? It's on the all season feeder pellet grill.
Yeah.
And,
you might be all right.
We smoked a turkey on that thing too.
How big is it?
It's about 60 pounds.
Oh, you could be all right.
Yeah, I'm good. Right. I'm good. It's no trouble. And we took a couple of others. And I clean those, skin them out, and I just going to grind them and make pork sausage out of them.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Pork
and
breakfast sausage.
You got them. What have they been eating? Were they up in the pecans and stuff? Or
well, they were over in Mason, probably acorns and lots of corn. We've been feeding the hell out of them, so they'll be in good shape.
Ooh,
I know they're fat. Oh, gosh, they're fat.
Yeah,
I mean, rolling fat.
Yeah, there's bacon coming off of feral hogs down here. So
they're good
and healthy, and there's a good harvest this year. Still plenty on the ground, by the way, too. We're finding a lot of
corn. Like is it billion or million? There's a bunch of them in the state of Texas.
Yeah, I don't know how many there are. There's a bunch of them.
There's a bunch of them. and doubling about every, if doubling or tripling about once or twice a year.
You know, I think now people are getting real concerned because it's getting scary with animals and the kids and in a lot of places. Now it's coming right up into these little urban areas. So, you know, that's when you and I both know that's when trapping becomes prevalent.
Yep.
And people get good at it is once it starts threatening them in their backyards.
Yep.
So, you know, we're standing on it, and, you know, a lot of people haven't been out in the woods beating around as much, so I think the hogs got plenty to eat and plenty of space to roam.
I got to tell you a quick story. We were talking about feral pigs. You know, here in Austin was plenty of feral pigs. Now, this is not a feral pig story. This is a cougar story up in Taal, Buchanan Lake Village. There was a lady who says, something ate my cats. And then the guy next to it was, you know, in the store also. Oh, I didn't tell you. I saw a cougar down there by your house night before last when I was driving in. I said, yeah, now you know what ate your cats and your dogs and anything else he wants. About out of time, brother. Tell him how to find everything.
Well, you can find me on the original Keep Austin Fishing on Facebook. You can find me on FrixTex on YouTube, Mike Garcia on YouTube. We've got some new music stuff coming up. Check out FrixTex. Find me on Ken Milam's The Great Outdoors and StriperFever.com.
Tell Chris I said hello, brother, and Helen.
Will do. We'll talk to you.
Be good, brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Ken. We'll see you.
Be good. Hey, family. We got a great show here in just a minute. We're going to visit with Ryan Hoover again. We're going to talk about what we talked about yesterday. So be sure to stay tuned. I got to thank Callahan's General Store and got to thank each and every one of y'all for getting up this morning. We'll see y'all on the other side. Ryan Hoover next.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylob.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, what's the good word there?
The good word is we talked with Ryan Hoover for three segments yesterday on the Great Outdoors. He was so much fun. And so knowledgeable about his craft, building rifles, gunsmith, and building pistols, helping you figure out what, and me, by the way, what kind of pistol I want. Do I want a revolver? Do I want a one with a clip? Do I want a custom-built single shot that's shooting rifle shells? Do I need a, you know, what do I need? What this is what Ryan does. Ryan Hoover, good morning, sir, and thank you again for coming on. And I just wanted people to understand what you do, and if they missed you yesterday on the Great Outdoors, to go over and catch the podcast. Now what I want to do is visit with you for about 10 minutes here and make them want to go check that podcast out and get more info that you gave us yesterday.
Great. Good morning. Great to talk with you, Ken. I love talking with you. I think the first time you came to my shop, we talked for almost 2 hours.
I know it. I was sitting there. I'm taking time away from Ryan. He needs to be in there working on guns, but I was having too much fun.
Oh, me too. I love talking with people. I love chatting and meeting new people. It was a great fun. I think we talked about everything under the sun, from honey to guns to reloading to hunting, sharing hunting stories, tall and short hunting stories.
Oh yeah. I did. I know. We did. And you know, one thing I want to do is in time I want to visit with you on getting a podcast started.
Well, you've definitely perked Maze up there, Ken, for sure.
And especially with you being a pistol hunter, and we bring that into where then you know, I love to cook. That's my passion. I'm like you are with your pistols, and I like to cook. So I like to cook wild game. So I think me and you could put this together. And I'll even say it, we can make a Meat Eaters type podcast out of this real quick.
I tell you what, you have hit on something. My, you know, coupled with my passion for handgun hunting is my passion for proving to people that game meat is delicious.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I am always figuring out new ways. In Texas, you know, we make all kinds of Mexican food, but mm-hmm. we also make Indian food and Chinese food out of our deer, and I just love it. I tell you, and I can give you the secret to all cooking right now, is if anything you put in the smoker for a few hours and then let cook for, you know, low and slow overnight, it's going to be good.
Yeah, pretty much. and if people are, well, I don't like venison. Okay, you take that piece of venison and you kind of beat it out a little bit, you know, that steak, beat it out a little bit, take it, and then now you can salt and pepper it and just roll it in a little flour and throw it in grease and fry it and chicken fry it. But you want to do something a little different. Put a little cheese in there and then put you a slice of bacon in it. And then you put you some onion and some jalapeno. Then you roll that up and then wrap a piece of bacon around it and then put it on the pit and smoke it. The main thing you've got to do is have that fat off of that bacon to make that meat stay moist.
God dang, Ken, we got to do this after lunch next time.
I know. I know.
Hey, you know, but real quick, people can follow me on my Instagram at Handgun Hunter Supply, and I post a lot of pictures of what my wife and I cook with our game.
You know, I've told people a bunch, you know, I've talked about, people say, well, Ken, I tried to cook a venison ham, and it just dried out. Oh, yeah, it's going to dry out because there's no fat in it. You take that ham, you open it up, you bone it out. You know, you cut it down, take the bone out, open it up, butterfly it out. Then you put what kind of sausage, ring sausage or breakfast sausage you like, into that ham. You season it around that inside that ham, roll it up with that sausage on the inside. Then rub the outside with a little olive oil, season the outside, put it on the pit slow and on smoke. And and once it starts getting hot, that sausage in there, the fat in that sausage starts cooking, and then it starts moistening and putting fat into the meat from the inside, plus flavor. And let me tell you how good
that's
is.
That's a new one. I gotta give that a try, too.
Yeah, that's good.
There's hardly a weekend during hunting season my smoker isn't going.
Now, take hamburger meat, roll it out, you know, just roll it into a flat piece. Now first off, you have to season it with what summer sausage you like, or bologna, bologna you like, a seasoning. Then you roll it out flat. You take a piece of high melt cheese, and you can get that at one of your local meat markets.
Mm-hmm.
Lay that, roll that cheese in the middle. Just roll it up, make it a ball around that cheese, then take it and roll it in coarse ground pepper. Put it in the oven or smoker, smoke it, and then just cook it. Just cook it. That high melt cheese won't melt. Then you take it, cut you off a chunk, and you have your meat and cheese right there.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. Yeah, that, talking about this, it brings up to me kind of my philosophy of hunting and game preparation. The way I hunt with handguns, it takes so much discipline and work to get good at that I am going to do my darndest to make sure that I figure out a delicious way to prepare every edible piece of that deer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, traditional after I kill a deer is something we call hobo heart hash, which is just cubed up heart with bacon and potatoes and sometimes a little onion. It's delicious with eggs for breakfast or just by itself with some hot sauce. But, you know, it really just brings home to me the fact that there is so much room for the revival of game meat as a delicious option for people. It's so healthy. The thing I always say about handgun hunting, it's better for body, diet, and spirit. And what I mean by that is that it's better for the body because it usually involves more discipline and exercise. It's better for the diet because you are getting some of the best, leanest, high-protein, most delicious meat on the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things about buying meat from the supermarket is it's missing one ingredient, and that ingredient is flavor.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
When you kill a wild animal, it has flavor.
Yep.
And then I say it's good for your spirit because there is no better way to get in touch with nature and God's earth than being on your own two feet stalking through the woods after all prey.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, one thing gets me is when you walk into the big box grocery store and you go back here to the meat counter and Dr. Oz says, oh, you got to get meat or grass-fed beef. That's the healthiest thing for you, grass-fed beef, because it doesn't have all the chemicals and everything that the meat, the growers put in there. Well, we can eat grass-fed venison.
Yep.
And in Texas, which is great, you can eat grass-fed exotics any time of the year. You can hunt them.
All year. Yeah, that's one of the great things about, you know, where I live, we have substantial axis deer herds.
Oh, yes.
And if my freezer ever happens to get empty during the summer, which is not often, I can always go add an axis to the freezer. And, you know, another thing that we touched on about how good handguns are for hunting pigs. Because, you know, just briefly, it was they're easier to carry around. They leave you hands-free to stalk brush, and they're definitely powerful enough to kill any pig you may come across, and I've done it several times. An underutilized meat is wild hog. Wild hog
is
delicious.
Yes. And usually...
Even like the big boars, people always say, I'm not going to eat that stinky boar. Well, if you put in some time and prep, you can make them into delicious meat, I promise. But you'll have to contact me for that recipe because it's kind of lengthy.
Okay, folks, y'all, we gave you a quick rundown of what we talked about yesterday on The Great Outdoors. And if you want more, just go catch the podcast, The Great Outdoors Podcast. And also, go check out rhcustomguns.com,
handgunhuntersupply.com, handgunhuntersupply.com.
And it's Ryan Hoover. He's over in Fredericksburg. Load the wife up. Take her to Fredericksburg. Let her shop, and then you go visit with Ryan. Ryan, my friend, my brother, I appreciate it. This was fun. I'm looking forward. Me and you got to do some talking.
All right. Hey, I'm here.
Appreciate it, brother.
Have a good one, Ken.
I'll holler at you. I'll get that rifle before long. Be good.
Yes, sir. You too.
Hey, family. Y'all stick around. We're going to have to thank Callahan's General Store. We'll just visit next segment. See y'all in a little bit.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sportsman here on Sports Talk AM 1300, The Zone. Now back to the Bud Light Studios and your host, Ken Mylov.
Hey, man, what's going on? Hi, what's the good word there?
The good word is, well, I want to give y'all a fishing report on Lake Buchanan. Lake Buchanan is, the striper fishing's good. You just got to watch these northers, and that's pretty much any lake. You know, if the norther is coming in on low, or if there's a low already here, the fishing will be good. If it all of a sudden norther blows through, it gets just beautiful, clear, blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. That's a good day to stay home and make a bowl of chili. Make a pot of chili because fish ain't going to bite a whole lot. But now, that's a good time to go deer hunting. But, yeah, I think I may be going deer hunting this weekend or next week. But the main thing is, if you're out and about and you're wanting to get on a bunch of fish, say you have a bunch of kids in and are around and you want to get out and catch a bunch of fish, have a good time. Well, we've given you a lot of names of guides if you want to go to the coast. Or if you want to go to Lake Buchanan, check us out, striperfever.com, STRIPER fever.com, striperfever.com, and give us a holler. We'll get you fishing. But, you know, we also have Alexander Point. We have cabins out there on Buchanan. But, you know, the main thing is get in the pasture. Take the kids out. Get them hunting. Get them fishing. Get them in parks. Next week, we will have Thomas Wilhelm on. Thomas, and we'll have him on The Great Outdoors, by the way. Thomas is with Texas Parks and Wildlife. And he is kind of over the Texas Parks and Wildlife. Well, he's over the parks part, and Thomas wants to, he says, Ken, I want to push the events, our Christmas events in our Texas parks. That'd be fun. He says, I want to also talk about our ornaments. They always have ornaments. Shannon, they always have ornaments that are, what do I want to say? They're made for like 2020, and it's an ornament for 2020.
Okay.
Now, do you think an ornament for 2020 is going to have a mask on it?
I saw one that our boss got, and it's like the shape of a virus cell. I thought that was pretty cute.
That would be cute. But anyway, in Texas Parks and Wildlife, they have ornaments that some of them are wood, some of them are glass, some of them are different things that are for 2020. And each year is different. So you can have your tree full of Texas Parks and Wildlife ornaments and have different years. So that's something to give to the kids if you wanted to. And it helps them. But the main thing he wants to talk about is what the events going on in the parks. I know I can't think of the name of it. It's out at Stonewall. Sauer Beckman Farm is a living, teaching farm from the 1850s. People that are there working on it are dressed to that era, and they work like with tools of that era, and they're also showing how to grind sausage, how to make, you know, sausage, how to do Christmas cookies, and also they give you Christmas cookies. But it's, you know, that's so much fun to talk about. Then there's another one down to the east of us, down in Washington County, is the same way. And you know, when you get to talking about our Texas parks, I have been doing this for 10 or 11 years, and I have had different ones talking about the parks, and I have never been a real big park person, but now I want to go see them, because as they tell you about them, like Palo Duro Canyon is the second largest canyon we have in the nation. And it's right here in Texas. Of course, the biggest is Grand Canyon. But, and then what's going on in each park with the events. They have Christmas events there. They'll have Santa. I don't know if they'll have Santa there or what. He'll tell us next week. But because, you know, it's kind of funny with this pandemic with the COVID and all about Santa Claus. I don't know. But they're going to have all kinds of stuff. They're going to drive through. So he'll be telling us about it next Saturday on the Great Outdoors. So this is going to be fun. I know I was wanting to holler at Shane Levy and see what's going on down South Texas. The whitetail bucks down there ought to be getting into pretty hard full rut. Here it is. What is the day? 7th or 8th? Something like that. I don't even know. I left my dang phone.
The sixth.
What is it? It's the sixth?
The sixth.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't too far off. yeah. But, you know, usually December 10th, December 15th, that's full rut. So the bucks ought to be getting kind of crazy down there in South Texas, so it ought to be getting fun. Wished I was down there. One of these days I'll get my rear end down there and go hunting. But now also, if Shannon, you live here in Austin, have you noticed more deer out right now this time of year?
Yes.
And you'll see a doe on one side of the road and a buck on the other side of the road. And then the buck will take off crazy and just run right straight through traffic.
And you usually see a couple doe because they'll be standing together and then a buck will come and they scatter.
Yeah. So what we want to tell you there is be careful out there. This is the rut. This is the time for the deer to rut. This is, they breed once a year. And so that buck will see a doe, and he'll want to get over there to her and see her and check her out. And he don't care if there's a car coming 70 miles an hour or if you're sitting still. He's still going to run out in front of you. So be careful. Watch out for the deer. We don't want you to hit a deer and do $6,000 or $8,000, $10,000 worth of damage to your vehicle. Or you don't want to hit that deer and you swerve and, oh, yeah. Then you go in the ditch, you start rolling, and, yeah, hit the deer. If it's going to cause you to flip or start rolling, hit the deer. That's all I want to ask. Don't hit the brakes. Slow down as fast as you can without the brakes. Just reach over there, get your foot off the gas. If you hit the brakes, do you know why you don't want to hit the brakes, Shannon?
No.
When you hit the brakes, what does the car do?
Tilts.
The front end goes down, then it just scoops the deer up over the hood into the windshield.
That's a real thing?
Yes, that's a real thing. Hit the brakes hard if you're driving. Just hit the brakes and see, your front end will go down. It sits, then it just scoops the deer up. And that's why I say, that's why I drive a pickup with a brush guard on it, because I hit a lot of deer. Because I'm driving at night, and I'm out there in the pasture, out there around Llano County and Burnett County, and there's lots of deer in that part of the world. Oh, I hear music. How many minutes we got left?
Two.
Oh, okay, you just started. But be careful out there. Watch out for everything. Be safe. All we want to do is make sure that you're back here next week listening to us again. Family, we do this for y'all. We just want y'all to stay safe, do the social distancing thing, and be back next week. We will. Family, y'all be good. We'll see y'all on the other side. We got to thank Callahan's General Store, and thank y'all. Let's listen to a little Blake Shelton, God's Country. Y'all see y'all later. Shine with the dogs running. To be from God's country. I